All right. So, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. It's good to see all of you. I'm actually really surprised how many of you came to church this morning. I'm, you know, Californian, and me and Ashley this morning, like, is anybody going to come? Should we cancel it? Like, what do we do? Never done this before. Snow, what is this white stuff falling? Actually, we are going to go through the book of Acts. Currently, we're going through a study called The Ordinary Church, looking at how the church functioned, filled with the Holy Spirit. And really it is. If the church and Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we will look a lot like the book of Acts. We'll be doing the same types of things that they'll be doing, filled with the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel, seeing miraculous things happen by his Spirit. And I, this morning, as I came in, I just felt like the Lord kind of led me in a different direction. So we're not going to study the entire book. There's one verse that pointed out to me all week that I just wasn't going to have time to really dig into. And so this morning, we are going to look at one verse. And I promise it won't be an hour-long service. So I hope not. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 11 still, verse 23. Looking at a man named Barnabas. Acts chapter 11, verse 23. It says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Verse 24 as well. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Father, thank you for your love. God, we are thankful for your Holy Spirit that encourages us, Lord. We're thankful for gathering us here today. We long to be encouraged by your word. We long to be encouraged by each other. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us, Lord, for the tasks at hand. God, I just pray in particular, Lord, if anyone is discouraged in this place, Lord, that by your Spirit and through your word that you would speak courage into them, God, and that you would do a great work in and through us, we ask through this scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Acts chapter 11, if you remember, last week we looked at a new thing happened, and Peter had this vision where he saw these animals come down and in the sheet, and he's like, this is interesting. You know, I got spiders and lizards and dinosaurs and pigs, and he's like, this is crazy. I'm really hungry. I'm not sure if that looks appetizing. And then the Lord said, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter, his infamous words, right? Not so, Lord. Like those, you can't ever put those together. And that's how he responded, is like, you're the king of my life, but I'm not going to do what you say. Because I've never eaten lobster or piggies in a blanket, and so I'm a good little Jewish boy. But what he was trying to do is he was trying to teach that the Lord is doing a new thing. It's not just food. It's people that God wants to cleanse all people, not just the Jewish people, but Gentiles can come into the fold. And so God said, hey, there's going to be some people that are going to come to your door, go with them, preach the gospel. And that's exactly what he did. And that started, really, that's affected this church. I'm sure this church is full of Gentiles. Maybe we have some people of Jewish descent, but for the most part, the church is comprised of Gentile believers, non-Jewish people get to believe in the Jewish Messiah. But as we'll see next week, Lord willing, is the Jews didn't really like that. The Jews, like, they had their groove together, and they were bummed out on that. And so Peter really explained, here's what's going on. The Jews came and contended with them, and Peter just explained, hey, here's what happened. Saw a vision. He said to eat. I ate with them. I preached. The Holy Spirit fell. I'm sorry. God worked. What can I do? And the church got excited about that. They're like, okay, the Lord's doing a new thing. We're going to send somebody. And they sent this man, Barnabas, not to be confused with Barabbas. Barabbas was the guy that exchanged places with Jesus, bad murderer guy, different guy. Barabbas, if you remember in Acts chapter 5, he's the guy that he was a Levite, And he was a wealthy man, and he sold all of his property to give to the church. And he was, his name, I believe, was Joseph, and they changed his name to Barabbas, which is son of encouragement. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, is just this man who is a son of encouragement. And he, everywhere he went, he encouraged people. And so I want to take a look at a few things. And the main reason that this was placed upon my heart is, again, we live in a place that is discouraged. We suffer discouragement constantly. And so we need God's word. We need people in our lives like Barnabas. Oh, man, it's going to happen all day. It's going to happen all day. Like Barnabas, that are an encouragement to us, that are speaking truth into our life, that are telling us the good things that God is doing and can lead us to Jesus in a closer walk. And so if you're discouraged this morning, I hope that the Lord will encourage you. Verse 23, it said, when he came and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and he encouraged them all that with the purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. And so it said, when he came. Now, remember Barnabas, he was in Jerusalem, and now he is sent to Antioch, and this is a faraway city. It is a gross city, and he was willing to go. He left everything, whatever he had going on, he dropped it, and he was available to be used. And I think that's probably the greatest ability that we can have to be used by God is availability. It's not that we are talented. It's not that we have whatever that the world sees that we need, but we're just, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. I'm going to be available to you. And God, when he commands us to do something, his commandments, he enables us to do those things. And so whenever I look at Barnabas, oh my gosh, it's going to be horrible. I think of Barney. That's how I can remember it. Barney the purple dinosaur, you know? Maybe your grandkids or kids, or maybe you have watched it. And I just see like this guy like, I love you, you love, you know, giving everybody hugs, you know, clean up, everybody clean up your sin. Right? If you've seen the show, you'd know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, I'm sorry. But he was just a friendly man. We get a couple things here that we get some insights of who he was, but he was willing to go to this place. And it says this in verse 23, when he came, he had seen the grace of God. I think this is a great insight in how to be an encouragement, is that you're looking for what God is doing. You're not looking to nitpick and you know, sin sniff. You're not looking to see what discouraging thing is happening. He is looking for the grace of God. And there's two things that we can do about the grace of God, because anything that God does is grace. I mean, anything. You know, like the fact that we breathe, that's God's grace. The fact that the sun rises, God's grace. Snow falls, it's all grace. Grace, grace, grace. But there's two different, and I think this is funny, theologians call it common grace and special grace. I would have always thought, like, brilliant people could have come up with something better than special grace. Like, it's special grace. Anyways, common grace is the sun rising. Is that sushi tastes good? Yes, it does. Sushi tastes delicious, especially with the wasabi on it. That everybody looks at a sunset and they say, that's beautiful. That is a common grace, that we can do math. And every math equation always has the right answer. That's a common grace that God gives everybody. Jesus even says, I send rain down on the just and the unjust. It's not like when you become a Christian, then your life is blessed. Oh man, God's going to like rain down blessings upon you. God's rained down blessings upon everybody. And he's pursuing everybody with his love and wooing everybody with his love and showing them that he is a gracious and loving God. And so that's common grace. And I think we can go into our workplaces. This is something that I have to force myself to do when I go into Boulder, because there's not a lot of special grace going on in that place. But there's a lot of common grace going on in that place. God has blessed that area. And so we can look for, even in non-Christians, the things that God's doing in other people's lives. And I had this great insight that I was told by a pastor in evangelism. Because I love going out, like that's my favorite pastime, is getting tracts and evangelizing people and trying to share the gospel with people that I don't know. But another way is just talking about the Lord as if they know the Lord. And like, isn't the Lord good? Oh man, did you see that sunset that he painted last night? Man, it was so amazing. God's doing this, and you're like, I'm just pumping gas. I don't know God. I've never been to church. But you treat people like that. That way, they're hearing about the Lord. They're hearing about the grace of God, and then you can bring in the special grace. The special grace is this. God gave his word. The word of God is a special grace. This is something that is infallible. This is, every word is true. Every word is pure. There's nothing that's true in the entire world except this. If man touched it, it's not good. This is, the word of God is a special grace. Another special grace would be the Holy Spirit. Non-believers do not understand the word of God. They also cannot receive the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Believers can. Also, salvation is a special grace. Only Christians, people that believe in Jesus, can have that grace of God in their life. And so I believe that when Barney, came and he came to Antioch, that he saw not just common grace, that, hey, even in this wicked town, God is still moving, people can come to the Lord, but he's looking for the special grace that God is revealing, the unfolding of the word of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and salvation of people's souls. So it says that when he came, he had seen the grace of God, and also notice in verse 23 that he was glad. And so he was glad. He was happy. He was fun to be around. Also, because of what God was doing, that's what made him glad. That's what made him joyful. And if you've ever heard the acronym of JOY, J-O-Y, it's Jesus first and foremost. He's the one that we are focused on. Others, we're others-centered, even how the O is in the center, that Jesus, but when we're focused on him, we will be others-centered, we'll be serving other people. And then why? Yourself is last. And really, it's not just like, and then I'll get to myself, but really, yourself is, you don't think about yourself because you're so focused on Jesus and you're centered on serving others that you don't have time for yourself. But unfortunately, a lot of us, there's times where we have YOJ, right? It's yourself, others, Jesus. And we need to turn that around and be glad like this man. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for, I call them happy, clappy Christians. And so before I was a Christian, you know, I listened to like punk rock music and dyed my hair black and wore only black. And I was like, you know, always had a cloud over me, just bummed out all the time, right? And then I go to church and there's all these like happy people. I'm like, these people are, they're so fake and happy. And then I started hanging out with them. Like, they are genuinely, like, they're happy about life. And I remember this one guy. He was pivotal in my discipleship. He was maybe a year or two older than me. He was an Australian. His name was Brian. He's like, oh, good day, mate. Oh, the Lord is so good. He's like, oh, dude, you're just too much for me in the morning. Like, decaf, Brian, decaf. But all day, he just would just love the Lord. And I remember driving all the time. And he'd be like, oh, joggers, let's go talk to some joggers. Homeless guys, let's go talk to some homeless guys. And just like everyone, he just spread the love of Jesus. He was never depressed, always happy. I never understood it until I saw that Jesus was the center. And he was focused, or, you know, he served other people. And then he thought of himself last. And I really learned a lot from that, from his example. He never taught me the acronym or any of that on how to be a happy Australian kid. He just exuded God's love and joy. And I think this, too. There's nothing worse than a Christian that's bummed out. You know, it's like, I'm sad, I'm bummed out, and, you know, because God's good, and I'm going to heaven, and he loves me. Like, that doesn't make any sense, right? And so when we think of the reality of what we have, like, yes, there is depression. There are times to be sad. We don't want to be fake about it. But when we think of the reality that we're going to heaven, right, that God loves us, that we get the word of God, that we understand the word of God, that we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, his fruit is love and joy. And so when we ask, Lord, you know, if this is not representing you, I want something else. I want to be a glad Christian. I want to be a joyful Christian. And this is something that's great to be around as well. And it says this in verse 23. It said, and when he came, he had seen the grace of God. He was glad, and he encouraged them all with purpose of heart. This word, encouragement, this is a wonderful word. It means to come alongside. It means to come underneath. Literally, like, put someone's arm, and you get underneath the arm, and you help somebody along. That's encouraging somebody. It's not just saying, hey, you know, you'll buck up, Junior, but literally, how can I help you? How can I walk with you through this difficult time and encourage you? Even taking this word and putting it in two, and it's encouraging. And you're actually speaking courage into somebody. And I think our greatest example of this in the Old Testament would be Joshua. Again, Joshua, the Hebrew name for the Greek name Jesus. And Joshua is a great example. It said Jesus never needed to be encouraged. Joshua did. Numerous times, God had to remind Joshua, Joshua, be strong, be courageous. And the reason was because Joshua was probably scared. And so now he's taken the reins of leading the nation. Moses was done. And God told him constantly, Joshua, be strong, be of good courage. God was literally encouraging Joshua. And then we see constantly after God encouraged him, then he in turn would go and say to the nation, guys, same thing, be of good courage, be strong. And he would encourage others. And so I think that's where it really starts, is that we get encouraged from the Lord, that we read the word of God, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that we're encouraged. Even David said he encouraged himself in the Lord, that we need to do that. That way we can be an encouragement to other people, because we do live around people that are discouraged, Christian and non-Christian. But America, the number one drug is an antidepressant, and people have everything. You know, we live lives that kings would only dream of, and still we have nothing because they're missing the greatest ingredient, which is Jesus. They need God himself. Only God can fill the God-shaped hole. And so we need encouragement from the Lord. We need encouragers. In fact, this is a gift of the Holy Spirit, that some of you in this room are just easily natural encouragers. Some of you, like my father-in-law and my wife, are they have the gift of exhortation. They just, like, they tell it like it is. They're going to tell you how it is. But my dad, my physical dad, he has the gift of encouragement. Every conversation I have with him, I'm just built up, encouraged. He's always bringing out the best in me. And that's something that the Holy Spirit does. And so I think, too, like, if you have the gift of encouragement, that you love to speak courage into people, that you love to build up people, that use that gift. We need it. We need encouragement. And so it also says here, he encouraged them for two things. It says, encourage all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. And so this whole thing with living with a purpose, this is something I've been thinking about all week. You know, especially as the college students came back, I hung out on campus and just talking with some of the students there I've built relationships with and talking throughout the campus. Like, there's especially young people don't have purpose. Or their purpose, quite literally, is I just want to make money, or I just want to live for pleasure. And things that will fade away, and we know as we've lived a little bit of life, like, we know that does not work. We know that that leaves you empty, less you know, less satisfied in the end after you pursue those empty ventures. And so people are looking for a purpose. And there's no greater purpose than living for Jesus Christ. You know, that's where we find our purpose, is being a Christian, living for him, and that whole thing, joy, again, is Jesus. We live for eternity. We live to make his name famous. We live for Jesus Christ and him alone, and the way that we do that, and we love, Jesus even said, what's the greatest commandment? To love your Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. But he said, and the same is love your neighbor as yourself. And so as we love the Lord, and we are loved by him, the natural byproduct of loving God will be to love other people. And so if you want to live for eternity, if you want to live for a purpose, is have this upward focus. He'll pour in his Holy Spirit. That way you can affect other people for God's glory, towards Jesus, and then you won't really be, you know, you will be last and least. And so, you know, last week we talked about vision, why you should have vision, how to receive a heavenly vision, and once you have that, what do you do with it? And it's not necessarily you need to see like a golden hill with, you know, all kinds of wheat and stuff, because God gives us vision in here. He reveals what his word says, and we can live for these things. And so, you know, don't wait for, I need to sit on a hill and wait for this crazy thing to come. I'll get hungry and stuff, and then I'll see a vision. Instead, it's living for a purpose for eternity, for Jesus Christ, and giving yourself for that. That's the thing that we can do. If God gifts you with a vision, praise the Lord. If not, he's unveiled plenty for us to do. Amen? Cool. And it says this, live with a purpose of heart, continue with the Lord. Now, Antioch was not a good place to practice Christianity, I guess you can say. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire, and the things that they practiced were, you know, I won't ever say behind a pulpit. It was just appalling. And the Christian church was exploding in that area. But Barney came there, and he's like, okay, listen, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family. And God is good, and just to encourage them in the Lord and to teach them the word of God and say, hey, I know this is hard, I know this is different, I know we are loving this Jesus Christ that's alive, I know you can't see him, but he's inside of you. Continue with the Lord. Abide. You know, John the Beloved, his favorite word to use for living a Christian life was abiding. And it's that word that literally means live together, live in the same house. And he gave us this illustration of the grapevine and how the Father's the one that tends the grapevine and Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And when we are attached to him, then we bear much fruit. And so that whole thing of just staying close to the Lord, staying close to him and his word, staying in fellowship, this is something that Barnabas, right? Barnabas, Barney? Yeah. He came and he did quite often. Let's read the next verse, verse 24. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. And so this whole thing that he was a good man, the rich young ruler came up to Jesus and he called Jesus good teacher. And Jesus turned back to him. He said, well, hold on. Only God is good. And kind of to challenge him, he's like, oh, I thought, you know, I'm good. You're good. We're all good. Everybody's good. And Jesus is like, no, only God is good. And so this whole thing, it's not that Barnabas was perfect. He was just holy. He was a holy man. He was a good man. He was a just man. He was doing the things that would represent Jesus Christ here on this earth, yet still imperfect. But he had this. It says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. He is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see him there in the book of Genesis, right in the beginning, where it says God created the heavens and the earth, that the word God is plural in three, Elohim. And we see in verse 2 that the Holy Spirit hovered around the face of the deep. And so that's the first ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to be on the world, pursuing every single person. Jesus even said he's on the world, convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That every single person will know that sin is wrong, that we should live righteously, and that we will be judged when we die. And if you don't believe that, you're just suppressing those things, or you're living a life of sin, which is searing your conscience. And so that is the ministry that the Holy Spirit has with non-believers, is he's on the world, pursuing the world, trying to point people to Jesus Christ. But once we say yes, once we say, Jesus, you are God, I am a sinner, I want to live like you because I know I'm going to stand before you when I die, and you're going to judge me rightly. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in your death on the cross and you rose from the dead. If you do that, you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you're saved. Jesus calls that being born again. And the Holy Spirit comes inside of a believer. And then he starts to live through you. He starts to change you. But there's something else. There is a falling upon. There's a subsequent work of the Holy Spirit that happens in the believers, that happens in the book of Acts, and that happens throughout church history. And that's, you can call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the coming upon, whatever you want to come say about it. It is empowering believers. When Jesus rose from the dead and he was ascending into heaven, he said, wait in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power to be my witnesses from here to the ends of the earth. And so that's what we long for. Like Barnabas, I should have never said Barabbas, I'm telling you. Like Barnabas, he was full of the Holy Spirit. And he leaked too, just like us. And so we need the Holy Spirit to constantly fill us. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that word filled in the Greek is to be constantly filled. And so it's not just a one-time thing. I think that could happen. But we want to ask for the Holy Spirit to constantly fill us afresh with his love, afresh with his power. Because that's how we're going to live this life of encouragement. Even thinking about this, a great illustration, if you are trying to put a screw into wood, and you can use, you know, a hand drill and try to screw that in, or you can get a power drill and just, you know, right in there. That is the difference between living and doing ministry without the Lord is trying to do it by hand, you know, trying to drill that screw into the wood or be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's going to lead you to do the things that you're called to do, and it'll be a breeze. It won't be much work, even though you are doing the work. Another thing with the Holy Spirit, particularly on this issue of encouragement, is that Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you guys. Like, I'm going into heaven. You can't come with me. And then he told his disciples there in John chapter 14, he said, I'm not going to leave you orphan. I'm going to give you a helper. And that word helper is the same word that we get encouragement from. It's parakletos. It means to come alongside. We can use the word helper, encourager, or comforter. And so that's why we call he's the God of all comfort, that the Holy Spirit comes and comforts us, that word parakletos. So someone that's full of the Holy Spirit will naturally be like the Holy Spirit, who is loving, joyful, peace, patience, kind, good, faithful, self-control. I think good is in there, but also encouraging. That's what the Holy Spirit does, is that he naturally encourages us. And when someone's full of the Holy Spirit, you will be an encouragement as well. Last couple things I want to point out here. It says, verse 24, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. So this man was full of faith, that he was trusting in the Lord. Even this, that he was going down, he's a Jewish man, he's a Levite, going into this Gentile nation, Gentile city, and Gentiles are getting saved, and he's like, oh man, I've never been this way before. But he goes, and he trusts the Lord, and he's led by the Spirit, and he's trusting Jesus Christ, not only for his own life to go to heaven, but also for other people, that, hey, if I do this, God's going to use me and people will get saved. And he's trusting that the Lord is going to use him in that way. And that's what we see at the end of verse 24, which is our last thought for this morning. And a great many people were added to the Lord. And so through this man, he was willing to give it all. He had it all in ministry. He had it all financially. And he gave it to the Lord. And he just said, Lord, use me. Send me wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you say. And the Lord said, okay, well, here you go. I'm going to send you on a journey that's going to be crazy. And eventually he's going to hook up with Paul and it's going to get really crazy. But also he was, as we look through these things in verse 23, he saw the grace of God, that he was looking for the grace of God in people's lives, that he was glad, that he was a joyful person, that he went and he encouraged people to have a purpose of heart, to live for eternity and to continue with the Lord, that he was a good man, a holy man, that he was full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith, and then God used that and saved people. And I don't know about you, but I want that. I want those characteristics for my own life. And I want to see that kind of fruit in my own life. I want to see people come to know the Lord. And if we are a people full of the Holy Spirit, we will have these same kind of characteristics. And we will see people come to know the Lord, and it will be a natural thing. It won't be drilling in by hand, you know, trying to get people here, trying to get people saved. It is, hey, we're led by the Spirit, we're loving people around us, we're encouraging the people that are in front of us, and it'll be a breeze as the Lord uses us. And so I pray that today, I know it's a shorter message than usual, but I pray that you're encouraged. I pray that you're spurred on by the Holy Spirit and through his word to be an encourager to people around you, because we need it. We need encouragers. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, let's pray and sing one more song. Father, thank you for your great love for us. Lord, thank you for this beautiful winter day. God, thank you that you send rain and snow on the just and unjust. And so today, God, we ask that you would use us, Lord. We long to be encouraged, and we long to be encouraging, Lord. And there's people out these doors that do not know you, and we ask that they would see your beauty, Lord, that they would see you, Jesus, in our lives, Lord, as we encourage them in the things of you, Lord. And I pray in particular, Lord, that this place would be a hospital, that this place would be a place of refuge and encouragement for those that are downcast, Lord. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill us all afresh, Lord, particularly those that might be down or discouraged, that, Holy Spirit, you would minister to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we stand and sing another song to the Lord?